We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
I just want you to not have too many examples about it, because that's the kind of thing that can suddenly change from, cool, this person's got this other experience that they can bring to this role, into, wow, we're constantly hearing about this business. Do they actually want this role?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey Em, and welcome back everyone. It's time for my personal favorite part of the podcast, the Shoot Your Shot shout out. We are shouting out one of you guys, our incredible listeners. You've gone out there, you've listened to the pod, you've binged it, you've studied your little heart out, you've shot your shot, and you've got some results for us. You've got a win. It's a big win. It's a little win. It's an insight. And this week, we're shouting out Alice, who bought us 5 coffees. Alice, thank you.
She said, "Hi, Emma and Sarah. I'm such a fan of the podcast. Your content is so fun and very digestible, which is why I've been a listener for nearly 2 years. You've both helped me on what's been a roller coaster of a job search. So buckle up."
Oh, I love the buckle up. I'm excited. And I haven't read this one, Alice. I'm so excited.
"I work in the legal industry and have been trying to break away from a paid internship type role into my first job as a legit lawyer. My dream was to move out of state and work in a certain job. I interviewed for this job for the first time and just missed out, i.e. the runner-up candidate. I listened to your episode on being the runner-up candidate, which was awesome during this time. This gave me the kick up the backside I needed to improve what I could control. I got a career coach to look through my resume and signed up for Interview Academy. After doing Interview Academy and showing off my best bits, I left every interview I got in the meantime feeling awesome and like I did my best. I even interviewed for my dream job the second time, but I got so close and missed out. But it didn't hit me as hard. Interview after interview and rejection after rejection after about a year of searching. I kept revisiting my notes, best bits, and your episodes to help me realize that I am an awesome candidate. You really gave me the confidence to realize that. One of these interviews was for the one job in my home state. This was a lawyer job with such good training and experience. I got into a pool, which I was bummed about at first, but then I went traveling and within a few weeks, I got the offer. I'll be starting a few weeks after I return. Even though I didn't come out of the process with my so-called dream job, I'm so grateful that your help has led me to a bigger realization. I realized that putting a job on a pedestal can be a bad thing, and I'm so happy with the job I got. I get to be with my family and friends for a little longer, gain awesome experience, and really evaluate what I want in my career and life. Maybe even get that job when I've got experience behind me. You're amazing at what you do and give job seekers the confidence to never be ashamed of trying. My best bits will be amazing to someone, just like between the two personal assistants. Best wishes and sending love your way."
Oh, Alice, I can tell she really listened to everything. You're going to make an incredible lawyer, Alice. You took notes. You were there. You understood. You did your homework. I love that story. And I also think such a great example of something we see a lot, where that first job is brutal to try and get, right? Like moving from paid internship to your first legit lawyer. Anything you take, great. It's never going to be that hard again. Like, it's never going to be that hard again. And I love it. You've got a foot in the door. You're in your home state. It worked out with your holiday timing. All of that is so, so good. I was actually just seeing, we've had Mel's story on the podcast before, the career big sis, and she goes by the in-house lawyer as well. Go and check her out on all of her platforms and go and listen to the episode with her. I was just looking at some stuff from her on LinkedIn today, and she was talking about how it's extra rough in Australia right now for the amount of law graduates versus the amount of jobs that there are. And I'm sure that that's the case elsewhere around the world as well, because law degrees are so popular and there's not always the exact same amount of jobs available as there are graduates who actually want to work in law. So it can be really tough.
What a good outcome. I'm such an advocate for making the best of where you are now. You might not be jetting off on your interstate move, but you get to be around family and friends, have a huge career transition. Like, that's going to be tough, and your life can stay the same for a bit of stability. And then once you get up and running, you gain some experience, then you can spread your wings. You went and booked a trip, like, just so good. Well done, Alice.
Totally. She hung in there and she got the result. She's got her first legit law job, which is exactly what she set out to do. And who knows where that career will take you? You may even end up really loving this job. Who knows? Like, I've ended up in all sorts of jobs that have been my favorite that I would never have thought that from the outside. A career doesn't have to be as perfect and linear as you think. So congrats, Alice. We really yap about Alice from that side. I did guess how much we really loved her. I just, her personality too, like, you know, buckle up. I love that. It's so fun.
If you want results like Alice and you need a little bit of help to nail those interviews, you can check out Interview Academy, become an alumni like Alice. It'll step you through your best bits, your career story, help you research the company. You can use the cheat sheet that you create through the course time and time again. You'll have lifetime access. Or if you need a bit more personalized support with a specific conundrum or task, you can book a one-on-one interview coaching session with Sarah. You can browse all the help available at interviewboss.com.au/coaching.
And I wanted to have a quick note in there as well about what Alice did. She talked about getting her CV looked at as well. Now, we don't offer that service and I don't really intend to be honest, because I'm not a resume writer and I don't want to be. But I'd love to know if you've worked with someone that you really like to help work on your CV, send us their details. Send us who it was that you worked with and what you thought about them, because I'd love to be able to collect some recommendations of people we like and people we trust. Throwing that out there.
Now, kindly, as always, if you like what we're doing, want to support our show, request an episode on your specific situation, kindly follow us on Instagram. The follow account is climbing. It's great. I'm loving it. This plea is working. And we might dedicate a whole episode to you. But today, we are talking all about our game-changing best bits formula. This is basically what we're best known for. This is our whole brand. We will link in the show notes all of the different episodes that we've done on Best Bits before. This time, we're leveling it up a bit, though, and this is more of an advanced episode. So if you're new to Best Bits, go back and listen to the Best Bits 101 type episodes.
That's right. You're going to be really confused if you're just coming in fresh.
Yes. This is for the advanced chooks out there that have already done the Best Bits. They're just reviewing them with a fine-tooth comb. Yeah, chooks has entered my vocab recently.
Do we have to explain that? Is that going to translate?
Everyone knows what chooks are, aren't they?
I don't know. I think chook is an Australian word. It means chicken, everyone, if you didn't know that. I don't think that that's obvious. I think our auntie had a story of going in asking for a chook when she was living in England, and everyone was like, what? What do you want?
Like a rotisserie chicken. There's two things.
Like, if you can, like, I have a chook?
I've got to go feed the chooks. Well, that you have chickens and you've got to go feed them. Or if you're going into, like, you want a rotisserie chicken, a bachelor's handbag, like you want a bag with a chicken in it. And you can say, just a chook and chips, gravy. Oh, don't feel like cooking. We'll just get a chook and chips.
A barbecue chook. Yeah,
barbecue chook. Okay, I'm learning. I really thought chook was universal. Anyway, it's my new collective word.
Maybe it's in certain countries, but it can also be used affectionately, a bit like, I don't know, what would you compare it to? Because it's not like a sweetie or a doll or something. It's like,
no.
It's like a, hey, cool cats and kittens.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're a good chook. Like, oh, God love you. Like,
it's like, I guess, like, oh, chicken. Like, I guess you could call someone a chicken. Oh, my chickens.
Hang on. Let me look up chook Urban Dictionary.
It's going to say bachelor's handbag.
Aussie slang word for chicken that's commonly used as a nice insult. No. Like, similar to that of a dag.
No.
It's affectionate.
It reminds me of Abby Chatfield, actually. I feel like she says chook all
the
time.
Yeah, she does say chook. Okay, anyway, it's meant affectionately. A bit like bugger lugs. Oh, look at chook. Look at these chooks.
Bugger lugs, I think that's going to be the same scenario.
Really?
Emma, you're not as worldly as I am, and it's okay.
All right. Should we get into the episode? We've done a lot of yapping.
We should. This is a yappy one. Okay. So this insight came from a coaching session I was doing recently, and it's something that I've talked about with a couple of people. It doesn't always come up, but that's why this is the advanced episode. It's something that if you want to go to the next level, this is something you want to think about. So your best bits, we already know that the quality of those stories matters. You're picking your awesome, best, incredible stuff. We're structuring them. We're adding all the details to make sure you're doing yourself justice with those stories. But what I think some people don't think about is the overall mix that you're putting together of your best bits. So what I want everyone to do is have a look through the stories that you've come up with and your list of best bits. Maybe you've got 10 or 5 or 6 because you're only just starting, and have a look where you might be over or under indexing on certain themes or certain things. It's hard to kind of come up with a word for that because I don't want to say topics, because topics is more like communication, project management, whatever, those kinds of things that you'd use it for the actual question. But we're going to have to give some examples to talk about what I mean. So you might be covering all the topics that you need to. So you've got, you know, stories that you can use for any question that they might come up with, but maybe you're using all technical examples and you haven't really got any about people related stuff, working together, people problems, or maybe you've got lots of creative examples, but you've done all this work on compliance and process and there's only really one story about that. And that doesn't really reflect the way that you normally work.
So you might have heaps of examples about times you've been a manager, but not enough in there to show that you're also an individual contributor. And that could seem like, oh, you just delegate, but are you ever getting your hands dirty and getting stuff done? Or you could have plenty of research examples, but not enough actual clinical stuff doing it on the ground. And similarly, you might be spending heaps of time focusing on one of your jobs in particular, and that's out of proportion to how long you were there.
Yeah. And none of these things are a problem on their own. None of those things are a problem. So if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, well, I have talked about that job because I was there for the last 10 years and anything else is like not that relevant. Cool. That's totally fine. It's just a bit of a check-in of looking at that and going, am I okay with that? Do I want to put some from another job? No, they're not really relevant. Great. Okay, good. I just want you to be aware of it. The imbalance is fine. It's just that that needs to show off your skill set. So you want to think about, okay, if they only heard those 10 stories about you in those proportions, like 8 examples about creativity and only 2 about processes, would that be a well-rounded view of who you are and the way that you go about things? And if you're a mostly creative person who does spend most of their time on that and there's just these other little side things you do, then that's totally fine. But maybe that doesn't actually align with who you are and what you do. Maybe you just have a job that gave you a lot of really great stories, but you're talking about it so much that we haven't heard about any of the other jobs you've had.
Yeah, I think I've been guilty of this before, is my day job using pretty much all the examples from the day job. And then that is totally neglecting other areas of my side hustles and other really good things that show a breadth of experience. But naturally, because I spend the most time at that job, I'm just zoned in, and naturally a lot of my best bits come from there. So yeah, great to do a bit of a check-in.
And what that can kind of mean is that we've talked before about a really great best bit. It shows all these other traits and character traits and things about you as a person. And so let's say you did give some really, really great strong manager examples. Cool. We can see how you think through problems, how you proactively identify that there's a bit of an issue somewhere, how you manage your team's workload, how you deal with flex, all these different things that might come up. But the more you keep talking about those, we've kind of already got the sense that you're already a very competent manager. Does that kind of make sense? And so adding another one, we're not necessarily like adding to that picture because we've already got that ticked off. But what we don't have is something else over here that talks about what you do in a different area. Does that kind of make sense? It's like, even if they're really amazing, they're just kind of adding more evidence behind something that they've already known about you.
You've already convinced them.
Yes, that's right. And so that's what we're kind of talking about. It's not that you have to you know, do one of each on every single area. We're looking for like an overall really big imbalance. This doesn't happen to everyone, but I do see it occasionally where I go, oh, okay, have you realized that all of your stories are coming from client examples? Have you got any about the team, or have you got any about something else? Like, because the role that they're going for isn't just clients. There's also these other elements that they haven't addressed. And so they've addressed the topics, but not these other things. So kind of hard to articulate a little bit, but I think it's all making sense as we get into example. Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy.
So yeah, this not doing a bit of an audit of your examples can inadvertently have you come across maybe like you're not as interested in the role as you say you are, because there's kind of a misalignment in all of your examples versus what day to day would actually be like in the job.
Yes, I see this a little bit as something people don't realize is that they're proud of stuff that they've achieved. And let's say you have run your own business for a little while, but you've also got this other experience you want to talk about. If you were saying, hey, I don't want to run my own business anymore. I'm ready to kind of stop that. I want to come work for someone else and just turn off in the afternoon and whatever. Like, that's what I really want. And maybe that's really true, but you're also really proud of what you did in your own business. Fair enough. But then you give like 4 or 5 examples about your own business and you're enthusiastic. Like, you're so proud of, oh, and then we did this and then we did this. Do you see how that could kind of come off as like, oh, but you're so engaged, you're so enthusiastic about all that stuff that you've done.
And you're not going to have any of that control in this job. You're going to be like a bottom feeder who's got to just do what we say. And maybe all the examples are about how they led the direction and...
Yeah. And I don't want to turn people off using those. They can still be really valuable and relevant. You do want to kind of light up and talk about it. I just want you to not have too many examples about it, because that's the kind of thing that can suddenly change from, cool, this person's got this other experience that they can bring to this role, into, wow, we're constantly hearing about this business. Do they actually want this role? So yeah, that's something that can come up.
So yeah, that could, I guess, make you seem overqualified. On the flip side, also underqualified if you're not showcasing enough examples that match the seniority of the job that you're applying for, and maybe not enough experience in X field. What if you have actually done a lot of customer service stuff, but most of your examples are about being on the back end in your most recent job? You would hate for them to write you off because they...
You don't have enough customer-facing experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You want to make sure that it's well-rounded. You could come across as not well-rounded enough, like you're too specialist. Or complete flip side, you could come off as too generalist. And again, none of those things are bad. Like, all of that has a point. Sometimes you do want to be well-rounded. Sometimes you do want to be a generalist. But it just has to be relevant for you. If that's true for you... Great. Amazing. If that's true for the role, even better. We just want to check in and make sure that we're not misrepresenting ourselves a little bit.
Okay. So if you've done a little audit and you're like, all right, that's me. Everything you've just said, that's me. All right. Here's what you do next. Pick your favorite stories, the best ones. We're keeping these. We're not going to make you cull them all. Don't worry. Protect some, stash them away.
Yeah. They're not going anywhere. You're still going to use them. You're cordoning them off with a do not touch. Like, they aren't going anywhere. Your top, I have to talk about this, amazing favorite stories. Great. Staying.
Yes. Right click, hold from purge. That might be a bit niche. That's in my News Boss software. I don't think anyone else uses that.
I think
anyway.
You just made that up. Hold from purge. No. Purge is a wild word to put in a software.
Yeah. Anyway, shout out to everyone else that has the button hold from Purge in their workplace. So with those out of the way, look at all of your other stories and see if you can come up with something else. Is there anything else that could replace it, that could match the same question topics, but give you that balance that you were looking for? And phone in a friend, because sometimes we're too tunnel vision about our examples, but your partner, someone you live with might be able to be like, oh, well, what about that thing you did that you were raving about the other day that you've totally overlooked?
Yeah. You can look back through your calendar. If you're currently in the job still, you can look back through your resume and read it. You can look through your LinkedIn. Did you post something about it? Yeah. Heaps of different ways you can kind of get prompted, but see if you can match the question topics, but get that balance. So you might have had a really great kind of communication teamwork example. Cool. Can you have another communication teamwork example that is also technical, or that is also clinical, or that is also whatever it is that you've been kind of missing from that different job that you haven't talked about as much?
I know with me personally, I probably have a tendency to use best bits about the really hard hitting news that I report on. So the sieges, the murders, the crazy breaking news stuff. But if I fail to also talk about how a lot of what I cover is grassroots, community campaigns, local news, that might make me seem too...
And that's a good point. Like, is your everyday always the hard-hitting, crazy news stories, or is that just the stuff that is like, it's memorable and it's flashy?
Yeah, and it seems the most like interesting to talk about.
But if you fill up a whole conversation with those things, like they don't know what you actually day-to-day kind of spend your time doing, which is your fundamentals, which might be something else. So that's another thing to think about. Are you focusing on the high-octane stuff that comes around once in a while, or are you giving examples from the more kind of day-to-day things, which are important? And you can also make an incredible best bit out of something that isn't necessarily like groundbreaking, game-changing. Remember, they're hiring you for the stuff that you do all the time because you're really good at the stuff that you do all the time because you do it all the time. Like, those are good things. Like, if someone every single day edits videos, cool, I want you to tell me about how you do that every day, because that's why I'm hiring you to edit videos every day. Like, it might seem boring, but those are the skills that are getting you the job.
Yes. So like, if you had too many creative examples, maybe replace one of them that was a project that involved stakeholders and deadlines and a bit more rigid-ish compliance improvement. Yeah. So think about what ways you can replace to show more of a depth and breadth of experience.
The bonus about all of this is that you end up with extra stories. Like, this is just getting you more best bits, because I don't want you to throw out the ones that you're kind of replacing. They're still there as backups. But if you kind of think about them as a bit of a priority list of like, you're going to try and use those amazing ones that we saved from the purge at the top, then you've got maybe some of these ones that we've been coming up with. And then these ones that we've like, quote unquote, gotten rid of, they're at the bottom, because you might get a question that's a bit weird, a bit curly, and one of those ones that you thought you might not mention, all of a sudden that's going to be the thing that saves the interview. So they're still there, they're still useful, and they're backups, but we've also got other options as well.
And those ones that are the backup ones, just keep them as like a list of headlines. Like, don't have them all prepped. Just know that the title of it, like Project X example, and you know that off the top of your head, you'd be able to spin something about it, because it's a bit of a weaker example. You want to flesh out the epic best bits, prioritize them in order.
Yep, absolutely. Now, we don't know what they're going to ask you or what stories you're going to be able to use, obviously. That's the whole point of an interview, unless you're one of those lucky people in government who have like strict selection criteria and the questions are kind of brutal because they're really formal and multi-pronged, but at least you know what they're going to ask. And then sometimes they do give you the questions in advance in government processes. So, you know, props to you, but the rest of us have no idea what they're going to ask. But now that you've identified that problem with your blend, you can keep that in mind as you go along and you can say, okay, I just had two answers about this job. In this next question, I'm going to try and use that example that I came up with. Does that make sense? Like, you're kind of keeping that in your mind as you're going through the interview. And if you want to go super duper advanced, I think some of our listeners will actually do this, and I love it because I think I would do it. In fact, I know I would. If I thought, okay, I've already talked about that job a little bit much, but I have two examples for this one and I'm not sure. I kind of want to talk about this different job, but I'm going to throw it to them. I'm going to ask them. provided that it's a bit of a conversational interview. You could even say, oh, great question. I have another story from that same company, actually, or I could give you one from when I was at blah, 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 and see what they say. They might go, yeah, let's hear about blah, blah, blah. Or like, no, actually, I'm really enjoying hearing about this company. Like, I want to hear more about that. Why not?
Ooh, what if they say, oh, up to you. They, you know, reverse card you back.
Then make your call on what you would have done without asking, which I would say is go with the breadth, because you decided up front that you wanted to make sure that you were doing that for a certain reason. So I would go with the different company.
You're always giving rogue hacks that like just make me so nervous and I'm probably never going to do, but like there is people out there that will probably give it a try.
Yeah. Because I just sometimes as the interviewer, I can imagine how that would feel and I would ask them and I'd be like, yeah, I've heard enough about that job. Like, I don't really want to hear about that again. Like, I do actually really want you to switch. And then I would go, yeah, let's hear about that job instead. That would be a great moment for me to be like, yeah, I'm sick of, like, I get it. I get what you did there already. Let's move on. Or if I was going, oh my God, it's so relevant. It's really, really good. I can tell them, no, stick with it. It's working. It's good. I like it. It's super advanced. That's top level. If you're terrified about that, don't worry about it. Just go and look at your overall mix of stories and leave it at that.
There you go. Well, that is our best bit advanced audit episode.
And a little Australian slang vocabulary lesson.
Crash course.
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments if you had heard of a chicken being called a chook. And what else? If you've heard of the term of endearment, bugger lugs. That's what my dad calls me every time I walk in a room. Ah, here's bugger lugs.
Look at him. Heads on him like rats. He's got so many sayings.
Heads on him like rats. He's never said that to me.
Oh my God. I swear. Just ask him. He'd be like, Emma, of course. I say that all the time. You just have selective hearing.
He's never said that. No, he's never said that to me. He must think you look like a rat. And not me.
And that is so rude. You look more like a rat than I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hit stop.
No. You know, did you ever play that game of like frog or rat? Everyone you had to classify as a frog or a rat?
Oh, yeah. Like I haven't played it, but I saw the trend.
There's like no context given. I wonder whether there's another animal as well. Or maybe it's just frog and rat. And you can't explain it, but you look at people and you're like, obviously a frog. And then you look at someone else and you're like, obviously a rat. Like you can't explain.
So mean. Rats are disgusting.
Yeah, but frogs. Imagine like a big bullfrog with warts all over it. Like that's not good either. That's the fun of it. It's not a good one. It's
okay.
Equally...
Look, proceed with caution. Don't play Sarah's game with your friendship group. You might never talk again.
No, I think they'll agree. I'm a rat. You're a rat. We just know. That's just the way it is.
I'm not a rat. I'm scared of rats. I'll be anything but a rat.
Yeah, but you're not a frog, Em. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you're too pointy.
Do the outro.
Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices and our Aussie slang, hit that follow button in Apple or Spotify, and better yet, leave us a review or tell someone else about the show. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people and keep bringing you awesome content. For more advice, inspiration, and some behind-the-scenes content, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss and chuck us a follow. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.